Was there some unusual things in there? There are kind of some things that are puzzlers, aren't they? That Jesus would say or instruct or give those instructions. In John's gospel, it says he, that is Jesus, was in the world. He came to his own, and his own received him not. And this is the beginning of that story, especially. Even when Jesus is identified as who he is, the response is not always welcome. So let's take a look at this idea. We have what is depicted in our text here today, basically a hometown scandal. Who does he think he is? That's the basic idea. And the big idea for us, I think, in this text is that Jesus models faithful pursuit of God's call on his life. So let's take a look at that. And you probably noticed these words. Many who heard him were amazed, and they took offense at him. It's very interesting, the word amazement. They're astonished. There's this initial astonished reaction, that word, that amazement. But it isn't necessarily the kind of thing that looks favorably on the person that they're astonished at. They're astonished kind of in a different way, in a negative way. And you see that by what follows in the rest of this. You'll see the word also repeated again in the New International Version, the word amazed, and keep an eye out for that as it appears. So they were amazed, which is a momentary reaction, and a negative one at that, and they took offense at him. The word there, offense, is the same word that we get the word scandalize from. It's called scandalizo. They were scandalized at Jesus. So let's explore a little bit in our text the idea of scandalizing. What could possibly be offensive about Jesus? Let's look through our text. What could possibly be offensive about Jesus as you look at this part of this text? He has no formal training. They knew where he grew up. He hadn't been to Jerusalem under the finest of schools. Okay? What else? He's just a carpenter. Okay? They didn't think he could do miracles. Okay? The first word, amazed, kind of gives you the idea that they weren't too sure about it all. He went back home. They heard all this noise and all this stuff that had been following him around, but they really still weren't too sure about him. Let's see. The word amazed is kind of like, have you ever wondered if it's for real? It's that kind of amazement.
They took exception and were amazed.
They heard him.
The section that talks about his teaching in the synagogue.
About his teaching in the synagogue. It could be sarcastic. Yes? Okay. Let's take a look at the next verse. What could possibly be offensive about Jesus in this one? He did heal on the Sabbath, and he got nailed for it. Yes, he did. Doesn't he remember where he grew up? Who we are? Even if they believed he did somehow pulled off a miracle? He's doing stuff that we can't. There could be jealousy in that, yes? Thinks he's better, yes? How dare he interrupt our service? It's different. It's something different. So what could be possibly offensive about this part of our text? I think we covered carpenter. Isn't this Mary's son? They thought they knew him. Sure. This is coming out of the blue. It was, as far in doing some research about this, I found that it was not the custom, even if the father had passed away, to refer to a male as the mother's son. Even Joseph would have been mentioned if typically he would have been mentioned as the father of Jesus. So that looks like there is something still there about in questions in people's mind that this is Mary's son.
So this is a slam.
It very, very well could be a slam. I thought he's, yes, somebody? That was a flip of the hair, not a question. Okay. Ordinary person. We know who his mom was. Yeah, and that may be coded negatively. We know who his siblings are. They're all here. He's just an ordinary guy. Yes. For sure. I babysit him. Very good. Very good. Okay. What could be possibly offensive about Jesus? Just some thoughts. Jesus knew more. Where is this wisdom coming from? Jesus did more. He even does miracles. And then the question of his roots. Isn't this Mary's son? So those are some questions. What could possibly be offensive about Jesus? Now this part that kind of relates to the idea of not letting others define you. So if we could take a look at that and change not letting others define you to a kind of be phrased positively, to phrase it positively, living the life that God has given you. It's both. Not letting other people define you. But on the positive side, it's living the life that God has given you. And Jesus, we find, taught that what the Father revealed. He acted out who he believed himself to be. And Jesus' roots, though humble, were profound. Because we have the rest of the story. We understand that. So living the life that God has given you. He gives us a great example of just teaching what the Father taught, acting out who he knew himself to be, and Jesus' roots, even though humble, were yet profound. Let's take a look at the second idea, not letting others, not accepting others' judgment of you. What in our text speaks to that? What do you see in this verse that relates to that main idea? Even my own family is not sure of me. Okay? Anything else here? He declares himself a prophet. So he is truly a carpenter, but he's more than that. He is truly a prophet. He's not accepting just the what would you call that derisive label. He's just a carpenter. He's putting himself in the category of prophet with those words. And juxtaposed to being the prophet are the opinions of others. So again, we're kind of back to that. Not letting them pronounce judgment on you, or not letting them, others, define you. as a person. Let's take a look at the next verse. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. Any thoughts about that one? It's still impressive. That's great. So he presses on, doesn't he? And that would be part of not accepting the judgment of other people on you. He presses on. What was that? The where it says he lay his hands on a few sick people and healed them. She said, that's still impressive. Even though it's minimized in the way the language, it's still impressive. It does seem that in many cases, Jesus limited his healing to this, that there is a corresponding response of desire on the other person's part. There's often in scripture when he heals, you see someone seek him out, and there's the desire on the other person's part, and so he could arbitrarily heal. He has that potential, but it seems like he often limited his healing till that response was there. An example of a miracle that didn't depend on necessarily somebody else's faith. Oh, I guess Mary expressed some trust in him to be able to do that. So, yeah, very often the trust is there, but he seems to have limited himself to working with people who really desired to have the healing. Yes. Yeah. Fascinating thought. Let's take a look at the next one. And he was amazed. Here's that second use of the word, amazement. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. This word is actually a different word in the original language than the amazement in verse 1. This kind of amazement is the kind of amazement where someone stops and tries to take in what they're seeing. And you kind of turn it around in your mind and you think about it. So here is the Son of God reflecting on the kind of response that he's getting from people. And he has come and he has proclaimed God's will and counsel as best he can. He has tried to live among his people as best he can. And he has performed healings, which would be kind of like pulling out your card and it has your credentials on it. A healing and a miracle would be kind of say, okay, here's my credentials. He's done his best at that. And so he's stepping back and he's taking in what he's seeing. And what he's seeing is their lack of faith in the face of all of that. Yes. Mm-hmm. That he could not, and that's part of his amazement. In the other gospels, you'll find a different wording. In fact, yeah, in the other gospels, it's would not. There was doubt in their minds. Yeah. See if he walks tomorrow. Yeah. Yes. Okay, part of his not doing the miracles could have been a testimony against their response to him. Very interesting. Very possible. Yes, it's looking to Jesus. It's him doing the healing.
Yeah.
And anytime, like you were talking about those people, whenever people become formulaic about something,
yeah,
you know, they try to push it back on you.
Yeah.
To say, the question is, what does God want in this circumstance? What does God want in this circumstance? And it seems to Jesus that there was opportunity being missed because God wanted something for these people and they were rejecting it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I know what you mean about that. Sometimes people become, like I say, formulaic about something. And anytime we start putting God in a box or putting burdens on people they ought not to have by saying it's your faith, well then we've left the clear and good meaning of the text and started doing something different.
Yeah.
There is the tone of mockery in what has been said in these verses so far. So you can see if that's the audience, he has a right to speak to that. Thank you for that caution, because this brings us right to application. You know, what is Jesus wanting to do today, right now, for us, in my circumstances? Yes. Very true. Well, there's the idea of not accepting others' judgment of you, and then he goes around teaching from village to village. Let's kind of take stock of what we've learned so far. If we change that idea of not accepting others' judgment of you to flip it again and make it positive, living for God's approval, so then we would want to remember who and whose we are. Jesus remembered he was a prophet sent from God, and he belonged to God, and that should certainly be part of our response to Jesus. These are things we can do in response to his presence today, acknowledging possible loss and opportunities. He did see that in the lives of people. He acknowledged that you've had an opportunity, you've had a visitation here. And there are times when, as we as Christians interact with people, we have to understand part of what feels like rejection is that people are saying no to a lost opportunity. And that's part of life. That's the way things are at times. You can't guarantee another person's response. You can't determine it out of the box. They have to choose as well. Then accepting the presence of profound distrust and sometimes even rejection. This is something Jesus did, and he models for us. There are times when that happens. And then recognizing adventure in the new possibilities that are out there. Let's bow for a moment, and we'll close in prayer. We thank you that you've called us to be your own, and that we are yours from now on. We pray that you would awaken in us the new desire to trust you more fully about pursuing your will for our lives, about embracing what you are calling us to do and be, or embracing what you are offering to us. We pray this not only for our own soul's sake, but for the life of this gathered group, that you would help us be aware of what you're doing and what you're calling us to be and do. We thank you that you have so marvelously provided for our lives, and we pray that out of that great gifting and provision, we may do well and please you in offering the kingdom where we live, in our homes, in this community, beyond this community, and in our world. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.